A reading from Exodus. I'm using the Common English Bible. Moses was taking care of the flock for his father-in-law Jethro, Midian's priest. He led his flock out to the edge of the desert, and he came to God's mountain called Horeb. The Lord's messenger appeared to him in a flame in the fire in the middle of a bush. Moses saw that the bush was in flames, but it didn't burn up. Then Moses said to himself, "Let me check out this amazing sight and find out why the bush isn't burning up." When the Lord saw that he was coming to look, God called out to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." Moses said, "I'm here." Then the Lord said, "Don't come any closer. Take off your sandals because you are standing on holy ground." He continued, "I am the God of your father, Abraham's God, Isaac's God, and Jacob's God." Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, "I've clearly seen that my people are oppressed in Egypt. I've heard their cry of injustice because of their slave masters. I know about their pain. I've come down to rescue them from the Egyptians in order to take them out of that land and bring them to a good and broad land, a land that is full of milk and honey, a place where the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites all live. Now the Israelites' cries of injustice have reached me. I've seen how much the Egyptians have oppressed them. So get going. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Come on, she got through all those ites. You really have to appreciate that, right? All the Perizzites. And those were, that was one bad family. The ite family was a bad group of people. And last weekend, Karen and I enjoyed, our daughter Catherine got married, and many of you sent your good wishes and your prayers along our way, and we really appreciated that so much, so thank you for that. And now would you bow your heads and pray for me and with me. Lord, I pray that you would meet us in this time. I want to pray for people that came here this morning, not knowing why they came, but sensing that you wanted them to be here, and I want to pray that this message would be one of the reasons, but only that can only happen if your Holy Spirit would guide us and speak to us in ways that a preacher cannot. So may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you. For you, O Lord, are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So I want you to think with me for a minute, and this is going to be, you need to participate. Are you with me? Are you with me? Good. That's what I need. Thank you. So I want you to think right now about your family and dearest friends. Your family, this is your closest circle around you. Can you think about your family and dearest friends around you? Can you raise your hand when you can picture them? Okay, you've got them. There's a guy in the back that has his hand up. Wake him up. Just wait. Just gentle. Be gentle. Okay, so you can picture them. Okay, now think about the people in your home and your family. Think about, is there anybody in there that you sort of worry about and pray for on a more regular basis, right? So think about that. I'm going to come back to that. Now, go to where you work. Maybe you work in your home, maybe you work outside of your home, and maybe you're retired and your work is sort of your volunteer time. Whatever it is, what's the space of vocation for you at this time in your life? Think about that space. Can you picture it? Okay. Now, take a step further and picture your community. I'm not even sure how you think of your community. Do you think of it as Herndon, Western Fairfax County, Loudoun County? Do you think of it as the D.C. metro area? Can you get whatever the name is of your community, get it in your brain? Raise your hand when you've got the name of your community, what you call your community. It could be your neighborhood. Okay? Now, think about the state of Virginia. My goodness, we were just down in the center part of the state, down near Waynesboro. What a beautiful place that is down there last week. Gorgeous, gorgeous place. So think about the state of Virginia. It's so different. Northern Virginia, maybe Tidewater. Some of y'all going to the beach, you're thinking about that. Think about this broad state. And think about all the issues in Virginia. How different it is to live in Northern Virginia than Danville. How different it is to, like, the valley's different from Richmond. Just, okay, you with me? Now think about the country, the United States. Is there a little bit going on in our country right now? Just a little bit's going on, right? It's just always, America's always busy. It's always happening. We've got problems. We've got issues. Now think about the world. Some of you really think of yourself as citizens of the world. You've been in the military, you've been in the State Department, you've been in businesses where you travel around the globe a lot. Okay, now, I've just taken you in all these circles, the ever-widening circle of your life. So I'm going to step back into the country, back into the state, back in the community, back in your vocation, and back into your family and friends. Raise your hand if you've got somebody that you're praying for and worried about right now in your family or friends. Just raise your hand. Look around. Keep your hands up and look around. Notice something. What do we have all in common? Everybody's got a little somebody. It's a mess. Amen? Seriously, don't you? That's just maybe a physical problem, maybe an emotional issue, maybe a relational tension, but we've all got something going on. And you know what I hear? When I'm listening to people right now, I'm hearing whether they're talking about their family or whether they're talking about their state or whether they're talking about the world or their community, I'm hearing a lot of what I would call malaise. Do you know the word malaise? Do you know that word? Malaise is a wonderful word because it sounds like what it is. Say it with me. Malaise. Malaise. What does it mean? It means a feeling of powerlessness. It means a sense that nothing's going to change, that we are stuck. And there's nothing anybody can do. We are experiencing malaise. Isn't it great how it sounds like what it defines? It's really terrific. So I hear people just talking about their family and friends sometimes. Like that person, I said, can you think of a person? You raised your hand. Some of you feel like that's never going to change. And the question that I'm going to talk about today is there any power? And I think there is. Isn't it good we have Jesus? Amen? Hey, because Jesus does not want you to live a powerless life. And so I want to talk today about, we're in this person, we're in Moses, we're in Exodus, Leviticus, in those books, the Pentateuch, in the summertime. We're going to be looking at Moses all summer long, most of the summer, not all, but most. And what we're going to be talking about today, and it's going to be repetitive in the weeks coming, is what I call the power of go. Say go.
Go.
Go. Say it well, like you feel it. Ready?
Go.
Yes, thank you. I need to go. All right, let's get going. So what we're going to talk about is that. Now Moses, Barbara told you about Moses last week, raised, taken out of the Nile River, raised in Pharaoh's household. He grew up, but then he always knew that he was a Hebrew and he was surrounded in this, he was never in the right zone. Like when he was with Hebrews, they thought he was Egyptian. When he was with Egyptians, he knew he was a Hebrew. And then one day he saw a Hebrew taskmaster beating Egyptians. And so remember what he did? What did he do? He killed the guy, right? You know the story of Moses. He killed the guy, and then he very quickly buried his body in the sand. He thought nobody would know. But then a day later, they came back to him, the Hebrews, and they went, "We saw what you did." And he knew he had to leave. He knew he had to go, right? Because unfortunately, he saw injustice, but rather than trying to find a constructive way to deal with it, he did the most reactive thing he could do. And he killed the guy. So he ran off to a distant land called Midian. Midian is in the Sinai Peninsula, and it's right above the Red Sea. So if you can sort of picture the Red Sea on the map, it's right there. Egypt's over here, and he's in this area right here. And rabbinic tradition, Jewish rabbis, the tradition is Moses spent 40 years in Pharaoh's household, and then they have a tradition that says he spent 40 years out in the Sinai Peninsula in Midian. And what did he do in Midian? He went out and he met some people and he joined a tribe. So earlier she said, you know, the Pezorites and Hivites and all that. Well, he joined one of those tribes. And when he joined the tribe, he became a shepherd. And he spent 40 years, if the rabbis are right, he spent 40 years moving sheep from place to place in an area where there is about 2 inches of rainfall a year. How much rainfall do we get here a year? A lot. Somebody said that at the last service. Some kid, at last service I said, how much rainfall? And nobody said anything. And some kid goes, a lot. I was like, perfect. A lot more than 2 inches. And so Moses spent his time with these sheep figuring out how do you keep sheep alive in an arid climate. And the rabbis think about 40 years. And at the end of that 40 years, he has a very holy moment. And the holy moment comes in the form of a burning bush. And he's out in the desert. And all of a sudden, the bush is on fire, but it is not, you remember the story? It's not what? It's not burned up. It's not consumed. And the voice of God says this, don't come any closer. Take off your sandals because you are standing on holy ground. And God continued, I am the God of your father, Abraham's God, Isaac's God, and Jacob's God. And Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Hey, if you ever find God in a burning bush, hiding your eyes is not a bad idea, right? And God is going to do something in this moment. God is going to break Moses' narrative about himself and about the world he lives in. He's going to break the narrative. God is going to break Moses' narrative about the world and the country he came from and the community he lived in and the job he did and everything in his own family. He's going to break a narrative because here's the narrative that Moses has been living out for 40 straight years. One person can't make a difference. None of us can make a difference. That's what Moses believed. Have you ever heard people say that? Have you? Yeah. No, hey, people start saying, you know what I want to do? I've got this dream. I want to do this. I've got this. I want to. And then somebody turns to him and says, hey, one person can't really make a difference. Have you ever heard that? Yeah. Has anybody ever told you that in your home? Hey, you really can't make a difference. You know how they are, right? There's nothing you can do. Nothing can influence our family to be any better than it is. We're all stuck in this. Malaise, malaise, malaise. Has anybody ever said to you at work, hey, you can't really make a difference here? It's a dysfunctional environment and the supervisor and the practices and nobody, you can't make a difference. Anybody ever heard that in their work? Anybody? Yeah. Anybody ever heard that in their community? We got all these community problems, but nobody can make any difference. Ever heard that in your school? Students, have you ever heard that in your school? Have you? One person can. You know what it is? It's the lie of the world coming into your ears. Because you know what it tells you? It says you have no value. You have no worth. You have no ability to change anything. And that is what I believe Moses had been hearing for 40 straight years. But the Lord comes in this burning bush and the Lord says, hey, Moses, go. Go. I want you to go back. I want you to talk to Pharaoh. And Moses has this calling, and I want you to think about whether Moses couldn't teach you and me something this morning about the power of go. And I want to identify three things that I think are really interesting to me in this story, and I kind of come back to these three things, and there's more than three, but we only have time for three, so here they are. Number one is this. If you want to hear the power of go in your life, you've got to get on some sacred ground. There are two kinds of sacred ground. There's the kind you create and the kind you discover. Many of us have made some major financial sacrifices to create this sacred ground, right? My wife and I, we are invested in this right here. Why? Because we believe that people walk in every Sunday and they walk in during the week when you don't even know. Some people walk in here during the week. We find people in here on occasion, sitting in the pews, in the chapel, down the hallway there, and they come in. And what are we hunting for when we come here? We want, when you came here this morning, what did you think? You thought, I got to go to church, but what was deeper? What was under that? You thought, I want to hear something from God. I just want to be in a space that's sacred ground. So listen, if you want to start hearing something from God, you've got to put yourself in sacred ground. That may mean you alone reading your Bible. That may mean you out on a walk in the woods praying as you walk. That may mean you attending to, coming to worship and attending Holy Communion to receive a sacrament. Holy ground sometimes comes in intentional spaces. Are you with me? And if you don't get yourself in the intentional space, you're not going to hear it. But I'll tell you something. If you're not hearing a go from God, it's not that God's not speaking, it's that you're not listening. Did you hear your pastor just say that? I know you're like, can he really say that? Just buckle up. Because friends, I got to tell you something. Many of us are saying, I'm powerless. My kid's a mess. My parents are a mess. I'm estranged from my sister or my brother. I don't have the friend I used to have. And I am powerless, powerless, powerless. And it's our only narrative that we can't ever do anything anyway. It's malaise, malaise, malaise. The country's a mess. There's nothing one person can do. And can I tell you something? I think God's trying to say, go, but you're everywhere but the sacred place. You're caught up in the busyness. You're watching the movie. You're reading 100 books, but none of them are anything that's connecting to your spiritual life. And there's no time for the sacred, and therefore the sacred is not speaking within you. And if you and I want to start finding power, we're going to have to find the sacred. And then sometimes the great thing is God's going to speak to you in two separate places. God's going to speak to you, well, no. God's going to give you two separate motivations. Is that my next slide? Yeah, one is going to be a godly joy. A godly joy. And sometimes God's going to speak to you in sacred spaces that you didn't know were going to be sacred spaces. Places you didn't expect. Places you never really anticipated being, or even the ones you thought you were going to be in, but you're just like, eh. And they're going to be things that are going to bring you so much joy that you know that you're getting a go right then. Last week, Karen and I, our daughter Catherine, was married. We like the son-in-law. This is very good. I'm kind of 2-0 on son-in-laws. I don't want to brag, but I'm feeling pretty good about more men coming into my life, and it's a very good thing. And before we went down to the wedding, I was thinking about all that was going to have to happen over those 4 days. We went down there on a Thursday. We left on a Sunday. 4 days. And I felt the Lord say to me, you go. But when you go to serve. Because it was sort of a do-it-yourself wedding, and she had some values around making it really simple, and well, I wanted to honor all of her values in this thing, but that meant I got to be on all the committees. I got to be on the setup committee, and then I got to be on the pastor committee, and then I got to be on the dad committee, and then I got, on Sunday of last week, I was thinking about you, because I was like, I'd rather be with them, because I was on the custodial committee at that time, and I was cleaning up a big old space with friends and brothers and nephew and everybody, we were all in there, but during that time, have you ever been through a wedding before? Have you ever done that? Can there not be a few tense moments in a wedding weekend? Amen. Just a few tense. And listen, we had a great time. It was a lovely, really was a grand experience. But there are a couple moments, got a little tense. And I made a deal with me. I said, when you start to feel tension and you just walk yourself outside and you get your head on straight. Because there is one person and one person only you and I can control. And who is it? Me. Me. I can't control her or him or her. No. I control me. So a couple times I started to feel like I was less than a servant. Are you with me? Are you with me? Have you ever felt that way? And I was starting to feel a little friction. And I walked myself away. And I was like, you get your head on straight. Because when I heard God's go, I didn't hear serve Tom. Amen? And so some of this by the time the wedding rolled around, the whole experience brought me such joy. It really did. Even the little bit of tension that comes and goes, and it wasn't any big deal. It was just a little me being me. The whole thing brought me joy. And can I tell you something? Sometimes God's going to call you to do things that bring you joy. Students, raise your hand if you go to school still. If you're in school in any form, raise your hand. Yeah, you got your hand up over there. That's good. You can put your hand up. Hey, sometimes in school, God's going to ask you all to bless other students. And when you do it, like you're going to see some kid that's going to be bothering some other kid, and rather than just letting it go on, you're going to walk up and say, hey, stop it. Knock it off. And they're going to do it just because somebody else showed up. You have that power. And when you do it, what you're going to discover is later, you're going to be like, I feel great about that. Now, you don't need to walk around school and do it all day long, but God will give you your go. And when God gives you a go, you got to go. Right? You've got to do that thing the same way I do. And all the adults around you have to. So the second type of thing God will give you sometimes is a holy discontent. This is a phrase I got from Bill Hybels, who's a pastor in the Midwest. And he talks about Popeye. He says, remember how Popeye, I'm going to use some old illustrations today. Popeye was the Sailor Man, remember? In the little cartoon. Kids, you can watch this on YouTube. It's not a great cartoon, actually, but, you know, it's interesting. And Popeye used to do this thing where he'd get picked on, and finally he'd go, I can stand rock and stands, and I can't stands no more. And he would eat his spinach and then be, boop, boop, you know. And actually, it's a rather violent cartoon, so you should not watch it. But but nonetheless, have you ever had moments where you just hit your limit around the issue of injustice? And it's not just that you were angry. Angry, anybody can do angry, friends. Angry's not very adult. Angry's not very mature. Angry, frankly, is usually not even very smart. I'm talking about a holy discontent where you see an injustice and you say, that is not right, that is not fair, and I've got to speak up in this moment. You with me? So sometimes your go is going to be right there. And some of us live like we have no power. Oh, I can't do anything. What can one person do? We've been telling ourselves that we've been hearing the same lie over and over, and that's a narrative that says you don't have value. And can I tell you something, each of you? If there's one thing I could get you to understand today, it would be this. You have value because you are made in the image of God. And if God made you, you've got to embrace the value that you have, and you've got to use it. So if you see something that brings you a holy discontent, if it's in the community, go get involved. Join the organization that's changing the world out there. If it's in the nation, write a letter to somebody in power. Do something that takes action. But if it's in your home, stop living with excuses that you can't do anything in the smallest circle you live in. And if you don't know what to do, reach out and find somebody who does. Hey, I've got a kid that's in emotional distress. What do I do? Hey, I've got a parent who has the first stages of dementia. What do I do? You and I do not get to sit back and say, I can't, I can't, I can't. And see, that's the second thing that Moses had to deal with. He had to deal with, address excuses. So the first thing was he had to get to his holy ground. But the second thing is you got to deal with your excuses. Now, excuses come in 1,000 forms. Have mercy. Can't we make excuses? Do you ever make excuses? Come on, you do. Right? Wake the woman up that just fell asleep. Wake her up and say, you're sleeping is an excuse right now. You're not that tired. Right? We make excuses. And by golly, when we make excuses, we miss the great moments. We miss the great opportunities. I've got a friend, and his joy and his holy discontent, one of them that he talks about is he wants immigrants in America to have a good experience. He wants people to feel welcomed here. So, and he talks about this sometimes, and he can get kind of fired up, you know, but the other day he told me this. He said, Tom, I was getting ready for the 4th of July, and we have a little on our pipe stem. He said we had this little get-together every year, some hamburgers and hot dogs, and we pull the grill out, and we set off fireworks in the cul-de-sac. And he said, I was getting ready, and he said, I've been preparing for this, talking to neighbors for about 3 or 4 days. Are we going to do this? Yes, we're going to do this. Who's bringing what? What's going to happen? And he said, it occurred to me on July the 4th, at like 3 in the afternoon, getting ready, it occurred to me, there is a family 4 doors down who is brand new to the country, and I had not even thought about their experience on the 4th of July. Now, he said, it was interesting. He said, I thought, what do they even think is happening when all the fireworks go off, right? What's the context for what's going on around them? And it was very tempting to make an excuse in that moment. What would the excuse be in that moment? It's too late. Well, it's too late. It would be rude to go ask them now. It's too late. What's another excuse? Well, we don't really know each other very well, or maybe there won't be enough food, or maybe they won't like the food, or maybe just excuse, excuse, excuse. But instead of finding an excuse, he found a holy moment, and he heard go, and he walks around the corner, and he knocks on the door, and when he knocks on the door, the people come, and he's like, hey, the 4th of July, and we do this thing with fireworks, and here's why we do it in the nation's independence, and we celebrate on this day, and da-da-da. And sure enough, he said that night, one of the most beautiful thing about fireworks that night was the look on his neighbor's face and the glow of fireworks. smiles. People got to know each other. Did he change the world? Yes or no? No, he didn't change the world. He wasn't Moses. But did he change the neighborhood?
Yes.
And did he change his family?
Yes.
Absolutely. Why? Because he's got kids and they're watching us all the time. They're watching who we invite, who we don't invite, who we care about, who we don't care about. And that's a go moment. And understand, most of your go is going to be very ordinary. But it is, we've got to deal with these excuses. Now, Moses had two big excuses, two categories. His first category is credibility. Credibility. So the credibility is, God says, I'm going to send you to Pharaoh, and I'm going to read you the text. Moses' answer to that was, who am I to go to Pharaoh? Who am I to bring the Israelites out of Egypt? That's in verse 11. Who am I? Has that ever been your excuse? Who am I? Who am I? I mean, where I work is dysfunctional and it's a mess and people are this and they don't get it. But who am I? Malaise, malaise, malaise. Oh, yeah. Fairfax County? Wow. Yeah, it's great in some ways, but X and Y and Z. Who am I? Can I tell you who Moses was? Moses was a guy who had been a shepherd for 40 years who desperately needed a shower. That's who Moses was. Moses was a normal human being. By this point in his life, Moses was a guy that had been sort of beaten down by life. That's who Moses was. Let me tell you who Moses was not. Moses was not Charlton Heston, okay? Right? Now, kids, you don't know Charlton Heston, but he was an actor, an old-time actor, and he did movies, and he did a movie about Moses. And when your adults think Moses, they see Charlton Heston. And the problem with that is Charlton Heston was kind of awesome. Right, Charlton Heston, if Charlton Heston walked in the room right now, if he were alive, if he walked in the room right now, you would go, wow, that guy is what?
Awesome.
He's Charlton Heston. He's made movies, right? He's like the tough guy. He's the strong guy. He's Charlton Heston. Moses was not. Look at the person next to you. Come on, look at the person next to you. Moses was more like the person next to you than Charlton Heston. Are you with me? And Moses was like you. But I'll tell you something about Moses. He had the power of go in his life. But his first excuse was, who am I? Second excuse, ability. So credibility, who am I? Ability. What's his excuse around ability? I can't speak. I can't speak. In fact, the text says, let me read it to you. My Lord, I've never been able to speak well, not yesterday, not the day before, and certainly not since you've been talking to your servant. Like, frankly, Lord, talking to you is not helping at all. The more you talk, the less I want to, is what I'm thinking. He says, I have a slow mouth and a thick tongue. And what I love is what the Lord says. Isn't it good that the Lord is on our side? Amen?
Amen.
Friends, look at me. Isn't it good that the Lord is on our side?
Yes.
And I don't mean the Lord's on your side like everything you say the Lord agrees with. By the way, if you think God agrees with you about everything, you've got the wrong God. Your God's about this big. I'm talking about a Lord who tells you things, not a Lord you tell things to. Amen? So you might want to bring that humility into this. That's part of the power, is realizing who we're not, but who God is. And the Lord says, who gives people the ability to speak? Come on, don't you love that? That's in chapter 4, verse 11. The Lord said to him, who gives people the ability to speak? And then verse 12, now go. I'll help you speak. I'll teach you what you should say. And Moses turns right around and says this. But Moses said what? Please, Lord, just send someone else. Anybody, raise your hand if you've ever felt this way. Hey, do you ever feel that way going to work? Amen. Do you ever feel that way going to school? Do you ever feel that way coming home from work? Right? I'm coming back. You're coming back into your home. You're like, Lord, couldn't you send somebody else to be mom today? Don't you have a backup for me? And Lord's, no, you're what I got. You're it. You may not be perfect. You may not have ability or credibility, but you are in fact what we've got. There's a power in go. And you've got to, you are like Moses. I am like Moses. We've got to overcome excuse. And part of that is having faith in God rather than yourself. And this is the last thing I want to say to you. Friends, you're never going to do this stuff unless you've got faith in God. You got to have faith that God is the bigger agent, that God is the one. There's this word I love to teach, which is agency. I've been using that word more lately. It's a community organizer's word. And what it means is everybody has power. You have power. Say, I have power. Tell me I've got power. Do I really? Seriously, do you believe that?
Yes.
Well, tell it to me again. Come on, I want to hear it. So do you. You and I have power. Now, agency is the thought that in any situation, actors have the ability to act. I don't mean like play actors. I mean you are an actor in your home. Amen? Yes. Right? You're the mom, you're the kid, you're the adult, you're the whatever, but you are there. You have power in that space if you embrace your power. But if you sit back just going, well, I can't, and it won't, and they're like that. No, that's excuses. You've got to have faith in something bigger than you. Because you know what? Sometimes I don't have ability. Sometimes I don't even have credibility. But God's glory desires to come into my life and into my world, because God's not that worried about me, but I believe God is worried about this circle right here. My family, where I work, where I'm in this community, where I'm in the state of Virginia, where I'm in the country, and where I'm in the world. I think God cares deeply about those spaces, because those spaces are full of God's children. And just remember, it's not you. It's not about you. It's about the Lord. I was in this, I'm not sure I can tell this story in church, but I'm going to anyway. And kids, do you remember in Palm Sunday, how Jesus rode in on a donkey? Do you remember that? Hey, everybody remember that? Jesus, there's this pastor, his name is Mike Slaughter. We've done some of his, Mike's curriculum. You know who I'm talking about? You know how Mike's a little bit edgy, right? Well, he's retiring now, so he's like worse than he usually is on the edgy platform. And so I was in a gathering, and there were a group of us sitting around, and this is Mike's way of encouraging people. And he said, he looked at us, me and a couple of the people, and he just said, hey, some of you guys better remember. And I said, what's that? Actually, somebody else said, what's that? And he said, all this good that's happening in your churches, you are nothing but the ass Jesus rode in on. That's what you better remember. Now, see, kids, what he was saying, don't use that word at home. What he was saying is, hey, Tom Berlin, because you know what, when we had this 20th anniversary just 2 weeks ago, and you all surprised me. It was really nice. And a lot of you sent cards. You put things up on the electronic bulletin board. You said some of the nicest things. One theme, if you read all of those as I did, one theme was, thank you for working hard on these messages. And I'll tell you, when one of our people steps into that pulpit, they work before they get there. We do not believe in spontaneity. We believe in work. Amen? Now, I believe that if you work, then the Spirit can bring spontaneous moments. Are you with me? Like I'm having one right now. See that? But that's based on my work, not on my lack of preparation. So many of you sort of said, Tom, you're preaching. But if I looked at the detail about the things you said, the moments that you really got something, can I tell you, most of them aren't in the manuscript that's on the pulpit. Most of them are where the Spirit. Now, I think the Spirit of God is alive in the manuscript in the pulpit, and I believe the Spirit of God is live in this moment right now that's not scripted. But I'll tell you one thing about me. I'm the ass that Jesus rode in on. I am here to bring glory to God. It's not working the other way around. Are you with me?
Yes.
Yeah? And can I tell you something about your life? Same thing is true for you. Now, here's what happens. When you make your excuses and you say, I can't go, I can't do, I can't change, I can't impact anything, what you do is you shut down your agency, you say, I don't have any ability, and then God can't be glorified through you. And friends, that's why you're missing this good life. That's why you're missing the best part of life. Some of you are like, but there's just so much malaise. It's just so bad. Everything is terrible. People are so angry. It's so awful. Why is God's glory not more present in your life? If it's not present, it's because you and I have not been on holy ground. It's because we've been embracing excuses instead of agency. And it's because we don't have enough faith in God. We think it's on us and not the Lord. And that's not true for God's people. Moses was not what? Charlton Heston. That's exactly right. Moses was a guy like Bill Crichton who lives down the street from me. Right? Hey, you want to get into somebody who's a servant? You step for one day into this guy's life. This man is he and his wife, they are servants. They wake up every day and they love and care for kids in their home. Three of their children, wonderful. They've got four children. They're wonderful and blessed. Can I say this? We're having a spontaneous moment. Three of their children have disabilities. Three out of four of their kids have disabilities, and those disabilities are not going to be fixed by a pill or a splint. And they get up every single day and they hear go, and they go right in their home, but they're still active in their church and they're still active in their community and they're making a difference. And that to me is more about the Lord in your life than your life itself. And I think you would agree with me. Is that fair? Hey, how about you? How about you? How about you? Can you hear it? Do you know how much the Lord loves you? Do you know how much the Lord believes in you? I don't care what age you are. I don't care if you're grandma or grandchild. I don't care if you're the father. I don't care if you're the great-grandfather. At every stage of your life, I think the Lord believes more in you than you believe in yourself. And I think if you had more faith in God and you got into sacred spaces and you abandoned your excuses, I think your home would be different. I think your job would be different. I think your community would be different. I think your state would be different. And I think the country might be different. But so many of us have joined in the passive, passive space of malaise. It may be time for you to get out of your desert. Go. Amen.